The energy debate in this country has largely been reduced between a battle between coal and renewable energy. But one international expert says an important factor is missing from the debate overall, and that's the public health benefits of tackling climate change, and in particular reducing dependency on coal. Dr. Jonathan Patz is director of the Global Health Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. For 15 years, he served as a lead author for the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC. That's the organisation, of course, that shared the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize. He says cutting greenhouse gases and improving air quality could save between 1 to 4 million lives annually by 2050. Health benefits, he says, that will far outweigh the cost of investment in cleaner energy technologies. Dr. Patz is in Australia to speak at a major scientific conference on environmental epidemiology. He joins me in the breakfast studio. Jonathan Patz, welcome to RN Breakfast.
I'm glad to be here, Fran.
So you argue a lot of things, but you argue that reducing the amount of coal burned in our atmosphere would deliver a health benefit equivalent to quitting tobacco, alcohol and fast foods combined. That's a pretty big claim. Tell us about that equivalence.
Well, you know, when you burn coal, you create greenhouse gas emissions that are heating up the planet. But at the same time, when you burn fossil fuels, you're emitting particulate, fine particulate matter, and other hazardous pollutants. So that to reduce coal emissions not only will be a good policy for climate change, but at the same time, you get an immediate health benefit. The World Health Organization estimates that 7 million people die every year prematurely from outdoor air pollution, urban pollution, and from indoor pollution, from dirty cook stoves. So this is a golden opportunity to get to low carbon energy and at the same time be saving lives. Even in the United States, a relatively clean air country with the Clean Air Act, 200,000 people die every year from pollution. So,
and that pollution is not just coal, though, is it?
It's not just coal. It's also from transportation. But coal is probably the worst as far as PM2.5, the fine particles that end up population-wide being the most hazardous.
And is that in the air, just generally in our streets, or is that primarily coal dust? I mean, how are we talking more the coal that's the direct environmental impact of those who live near coal mines?
Really, when you burn coal from a power plant, it goes all over, you know, so there's a huge emission plume from a power plant.
That is dangerous.
That's dangerous. And it's not just particles, of course. Mercury ends up in the water from burning coal, and there are lots of emissions that are hazardous. So it's not, certainly the exposure is the closer you are to a power plant, that's one thing, but this gets into the atmosphere and then settles down as well. So, but it's not just coal. Traffic is very important as well. The whole fossil fuel industry is putting our health at risk, and there are other aspects as far as transportation regarding physical fitness, sedentary lifestyle. 60% of Americans don't get the minimum level of exercise that's recommended. But that's another part of fossil fuel.
So that's all arguments for a cleaner, greener city, so to speak. We'll come back
Absolutely.
To that.
Yeah.
Our government argues, and we're having an argument around coal at the moment, and there's a big coal mine that is called the Adani coal mine that the company wants to build, the government wants to be operating, and there's protests against it. It would be exporting Australian coal to India. Our government argues that that coal we would be exporting to India is much cleaner than the fuels that they're burning in those villages now, the wood and the poorer quality coal. In the short term, is that a good public health initiative? Is there an argument there for that?
Not really. I mean, I think when people talk about clean coal, it's an oxymoron. There's no such thing. There's cleaner coal, less, there's low
sulfur. Well, that's
sulfur,
what I'm asking you. There is cleaner coal, well, no. And in developing countries, coal is still very much a fuel of choice because it is so cheap and reliable.
Well, there is low sulfur coal, but still, coal is coal, and it gets lots of particulates. And so, I think it's wrong to think that it's like smoking a cigarette that might be a little bit less in tar and nicotine, but it's still smoking a cigarette. It's not feasible. And I think that there's so many alternatives when you think about even in India. Solar, you know, and microgrid electric and things like that. There are opportunities in poor countries. They don't have to go to coal. They could leapfrog and not make the same mistakes that industrial countries have made by becoming over-reliant on fossil fuels. So this is where, frankly, for Australia, I am at a loss to understand why in a country, a sun-baked country, where, number one, the price of solar is low, but you have so much sun here in Australia, you have slip, slap, slop campaigns to protect from the sun, and why aren't we here in Australia taking advantage of the sun? But again, exporting coal means you're exporting the problem to other places, and you're going to be killing people in India if they burn that coal, and you're going to be exacerbating the climate change crisis right now.
Let's talk about other countries. China's reducing its dependency on coal. Its major cities are crippled by air pollution. That's one of the drivers, shifting to more renewable energy sources. It's still a major burner of coal, nevertheless, China. Is it air pollution that's driving the shift we are seeing in China, or the effort, the focus to move to renewables, or is it that the cost of renewables are coming down? Do you have a sense of that?
I think it's both, really. You know, the population in China is at a point where they're demanding better air quality, and so that's definitely a driver. But, the price of solar has dropped 99% since the 70s, 80% in the last 7 years. China sees this as a golden opportunity. They're becoming the world's largest investor of solar energy. They are reducing their coal-fired power plant production. I don't know exactly the numbers, but they still burn coal, but they are majorly shifting and investing in solar.
In this country at the moment, households and businesses are facing power shortages, crippling price rises, and a whole argument about the shift from coal to renewables and the impact that would have on reliability, affordability, and sustainability. And there's much argument going on. Where should public health be on that list of priorities?
Public health should be absolutely front and center. When you talk about energy policy, you are absolutely talking about public health policy. And why would we want to be using dirty energy that kills people, which is external to the market, by the way? You know, when you burn fossil fuels, the environmental and public health costs of that combustion is not accounted for, and it needs to be. So, this is a golden opportunity to get to clean energy, which is healthy health policy. And regarding reliability, I heard about the power outage that was from storms knocking down the utility poles, which is not a matter of the solar energy system. It happened to do with that. And so I think that's you can have a reliable, renewable energy source, and especially with battery technology becoming so much more efficient.
It's 16 to 7. Our guest is Dr. Jonathan Patz, Director of the Global Health Initiative at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking about the benefits of cleaning up our air and action on climate change that results in that. Tell me, can you give me an example of one of the cities where moves have been made, these cleaner, greener cities, which have health benefits apart from just cleaning up the environment? Give me an example, can you? Can we quantify that?
I'll give you an example of one of our studies. We studied the upper Midwest of the United States, and we looked at the 11 largest cities, and we asked the question, what would happen if we got short car trips, 5 kilometers or less, short car trips off the road? What would that mean for health? And then we added a second question. What if you replaced half of those short car trips just with, in the summertime, with bicycle trips? The benefit would be that you would save from cleaner air and increased exercise. You'd save 1,300 lives every year, an equivalent in the United States of $8 billion in avoided mortality and health costs.
And Jonathan, can I just ask you finally, you were a lead author for the UN IPCC for 15 years. US President Donald Trump has walked away from the Paris Accord. Are you confident there's still enough support and political will in the US without a key signatory like the US, to the global accord?
Yeah, well, it's embarrassing and unconscionable that President Trump made that announcement. Of course, the U.S. cannot legally pull out until 2 years from now. 70% of Americans, according to a Pew poll, support being in Paris. And, the C40 cities and R20 regions, there are plenty of states and subnational regions and cities that are fully on board. There's more than $6 trillion in U.S. business have signed something to say they're fully on board. So I think America is on board. Donald Trump, again, we can't pull out for another 2 years.
Jonathan Patz, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Dr. Jonathan Patz, director of the Global Health Institute at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who shared the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize for his work as a member, lead author of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. He's here in Australia at the moment to speak at the 29th Annual Scientific Conference of the International Society of Environmental Epidemiology. And after 8:30, we're going to take a look at a new report released today, which says that around 70% of our electricity will need to come from renewables by 2030 if we are to meet our Paris targets at the lowest cost to the economy.